If you've gotten your ballot in the mail, you may have noticed it roughly resembles a telephone book. In San Francisco, for example, there are 25 local measures to vote on, not to mention 17 statewide propositions. And those include everything from legalizing marijuana to repealing the death penalty. But the thing people probably aren't talking about at dinner parties is school construction bonds. It's not the flashiest of topics, but it's important. And KALW's Hannah Kingsley-Ma is here to tell us why.
Yep, that's right. I'm going to tell you a story about school construction bonds. And as I say these words, I can practically feel you, dear listener, reaching for the dial or slowly tuning out. Well, I'm telling you, don't. And the reason is these guys. Those are kindergartners at Park Elementary School in Hayward. Right now, they're wobbling into the lunchroom, greeted by parent volunteers. Park Elementary is a cheerful place. The halls are dotted with murals of tiny green handprints and scribbled on schoolwork. But take a closer look, and you see the building needs an upgrade.
And I'll show you around. You can see some of the doorways, some of the dry rot.
That's Steve Fallon, who manages maintenance, security, and transportation for the whole district.
All asphalt. So if you look around the playground, and we'll patch it as best we can, but it would cost approximately $350,000 to $400,000 per school.
Two dead trees stand right next to picnic tables. And after recent rains, there's a new pest problem. But Park Elementary is one of over 30 schools in the district, and money's tight.
For the whole district, we have one plumber, one electrician, one carpenter. Due to budget cuts, we've lost 21 positions in maintenance over the last 5 years.
On the top of Fallon's to-do list?
We probably need 10 new roofs in the district, and the longer we delay that,
the more expensive the repairs. Californians haven't voted on a school construction bond in 10 years, and state funding's dried up. Proposition 51 is here to try and replenish those coffers with $9 billion worth of bonds. To break down that big sum of money, well, most would be set aside for K-12 schools, building new facilities and modernizing old ones like Park Elementary. Another big chunk would be spent on community colleges, and a smaller portion would go to charter schools and career technical programs. Now, the State Legislative Analyst Office predicts that if Proposition 51 passes, it would cost the state nearly $18 billion with interest. The cost is high, but so is the need.
I mean, our research has shown that, you know, over half of school districts in the state are pretty significantly underinvesting annually in their school buildings.
That's Jeff Vincent, Deputy Director at UC Berkeley's Center for Cities and Schools.
And this really raises concerns about, you know, what are the conditions and qualities of these schools? Are they safe? Are they healthy? Are they educationally appropriate?
His research explores the ways school construction projects can actually exacerbate inequality.
School districts serving more low-income children, they're actually spending more per student out of their operating budget on their facilities than higher income school districts are. And this raised real flags for us.
Because without state funding, local communities have to rely on other methods, namely local bond measures and local developer fees. In a school like Park Elementary, where most kids qualify for free and reduced lunch, they don't have a big pool of money they can tap into when they need to build new doorways. But here is where things get really complicated, says Jeff Vincent. Even if Prop 51 were to get passed,
an equitable approach to allocating state funds is not baked into the program.
Schools have to apply, get in line, and show the state they can match whatever funds they receive. Because of this, critics of Proposition 51 say it doesn't go far enough to be equitable.
All four of the last school construction bonds that have passed in the state of California have had very broad support across the aisle and with governors. This new one, Prop 51, doesn't have that.
Governor Jerry Brown's a vocal opponent, in part because a lot of the funding for this proposition comes from construction companies and developers. It's one of the aspects that's making some voters wary. But others argue what's worse than that is no money at all.
If Proposition 51 fails, the inequities across districts are most certain to widen. if Proposition 51 passes, will it go far enough? No, it won't.
If we're being honest here, it's a tough choice to make. We can either deprive schools of much needed money in hopes that desperation sparks reform, or we can sign off on a costly bond that might not go where it really needs to. But come November 8th, it's the decision you and I are both going to have to make. Regardless of the outcome, both sides agree. It's time to have a long, hard look at school maintenance and construction and how much the state should pay for it. Because what's at stake is kids' long-term health and safety. For CrossCurrents, I'm Hannah Kingsley-Ma.